Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord loves us from the heart. He speaks to us heart to heart. A heart full of love makes the difference. Those that love God, their heart is after His will. Now, the last broadcast we talked about how people allow things to remain, and the Lord called those things allowances. Now, they don't always mean any harm. They're not malicious people. People can be, they can allow things to remain without realizing it. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they're trying to be worldly. But if you don't, it goes back to the Old Testament. This is nothing new. All the problems the Lord tried to solve in the first place is what we really need to pay attention to. He told Moses to drive out, they had to drive out all the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Amorites, the Kenites, all of them had to go. All of them. Even the Gibeonites. But there's a message in this. I used to wonder why, if God gave them the land, why do they have to fight for it? It's because the land was inhabited. And the only way the people were going to be driven off is if the people of God who believe Him drive them off. God gave them that land. And all the earth belongs to God. All the real estate is His. Now we have what you call in our terms a lease. Now everything God does, all the covenants He keep, that's why He had to make a covenant with a man just to redeem man. So He got Abraham. He found Abram and changed his name to Abraham. Abram means father. Abraham means father of nations. So He took father of nations and made a covenant. When he made covenant, that meant there would be nothing, that God was not going to let anything stop Him from keeping that covenant. But he gave the children of Abraham, He gave his descendants the promise went to Isaac, and then to Jacob. Even though Jacob got it the wrong way, it went to Jacob and his 12 sons. So now, it's Moses' day. They multiplied into millions of people. And now, it's time for them to possess Canaan land that God covenanted to give with them around 400 years prior. So they had to drive the people out of the land. Now, God gave us a new life. And we grew up in the world. We were born in the world system. We understood the logic of the world system in part. That's how we operated. One scripture says that people of this world, they operate better in their system than God's people do in this one, in our kingdom. See, we're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God, and we have to learn how it operates. And the problem is, people don't always understand how it operates. A lot of Christians are unclear on how the kingdom of God operates. In this kingdom, you're the king, not God, you are. What you allow, God allows. This is your realm. What you say goes here. So if you're looking if you want God to speak it so it'll happen, that's error. That's not the way it works. And a lot of religious speech that it sounds good on paper, but it's not true. They say God is in full control. If He was in full control, everybody gets saved. There would be no need for the tribulation period. Everybody would love each other. He's not in control. Man is in this realm, in this time. This is also a period that God gave us called grace. He gave us a grace to, so, and there's room for us to be good and bad. And we can be good because we can choose what's right, or we can choose what's wrong. And over time, it'll kill us, but we can do it if we want to. God's not going to interfere. Until the time, when the grace period is up, he's going to come back and take everybody by surprise and separate the sheep from the goat. Start the tribulation period to start. He's going to judge the world for, you know, all the things in Revelation will happen. See, at the end of the lease, all the judgments will take their course properly. And even in that, even in the judgment of God, when God has to come and do justice that so many people think they desire, it's done in a way to cause people to repent. He's still trying to get men to repent by the systematic way he does the judgment in Revelation. And he's doing things to help people recognize that he is, and that they need to keep the word that they remember, and the word of God that's spoken by 144,000. Angels are going to fly through the air and warn people not to take the mark of the beast, and they're going to do it anyway because they're just stubborn. And they're under witchcraft of the false prophet. All these things are happening. The seeds of it is happening in current times. Satan is system in the music, in the videos, in a lot of things. A lot of things are just satanic. And people are not paying attention. They're not watching. And the enemy gives people suggestions, try to get people into adultery, homosexuality, all the things, strife, unforgiveness, everything that will divide you from God. But people make choices. Now, some things that they know are wrong, they work on it and they deal with it. So when Joshua went forward, they started driving out the Canaanites. Now, this was not an easy task because they got to drive them all out of the land, and the land is huge. And I believe Joshua just about had wars all of his life. And the people that they didn't drive out, the word said the Lord let them remain to test Israel. Because everything that he builds on must be tried, must be tested. You can't drive them out unless you are in covenant with God. It's going to take a miracle to drive these people out, just like it takes a miracle for us to live the life of God. The first miracle is the new birth. We believe on Jesus, that's our miracle. We got a brand new heart. Now we have to build on it at our will. If we build, we stand. Where we fail to build, we fail to stand. Now, just like Israel, people don't always drive everything out. They don't always clear up everything. So there's no reason, it's not reasonable to think the worst of people just because they don't drive something out. Most people don't intend to keep it. And I have a distinction for that. I have a way of talking about it that gives more clarity. People do two things when it comes to holding back from God. They give God what they want God to have, and they hold on to what they select. The things that that people hold back, that's the Lord called those reserves. Now, I hate the world system, the way it works. I preach against it. But whatever I like, I kind of hold on to it. I don't deal with it like I deal with the things that I don't like. Reserves can be anything from laziness. You know, instead of praying, and I just watch TV. I'm not going to give God any TV time. It can be the habits you have. Well, I know I need to pray, but I like to go play golf, or I like to fish, or I like to go to football games. And I just don't want to commit to praying every day because I love to do other things and I'm too busy to pray. That's a reserve. It's not necessarily a sin as much as it is foolish. It's a reserve. That's what you held back on purpose at your own will. You didn't see the harm in it because you're not doing the things of the world. You're not doing things that you shouldn't do. And then there are cultural reserves. The sway of the people. You know, in the days of Ahaz, Pekah and Remaliah's son had plotted against Israel. And the people, against Judah. Israel, the people of Israel, and the people of Syria, through those two men, they were swayed. Israel was swayed under their witchcraft, so to speak. Just like the trees, they sway with the wind. There is a sway of the public, a sway of the races, a sway of the culture, a sway of families, a sway of friends. And you know that if you teach certain things that Jesus said, you won't be popular anymore. And sometimes people are a little cowardly and they don't go forward and say what needs to be said. That's also a reserve. Because they did it on purpose. They knew better and they did worse. They took the low road instead of the high road. Anytime you take the low road on purpose, that's a reserve. Years later, about a few years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I was wondering why tenderness people have to get healed. And the Lord taught me about allowances. Some things people don't deal with. Not because they knew better, they just didn't think about it. They allowed things that they felt were harmless. It wasn't right, it wasn't best, and they didn't think of it as a dangerous thing because that's what they remember as being normal. Mindsets can seem normal, and people just don't consider it ungodly. Some examples would be dissension, being dissembled from people, because of their age, race, status. People don't think it's wrong. Well, I'll stick with my kind. I'll hang around people of my status. It goes beyond racism. So there are some cultures, they want their children to marry people of the same status. See, status can be a dividing line just like racism was. And they allow it because they were taught it. They were taught it because it was in their culture. That's what they were around. And they gravitate towards people that think like them. Just like the denominational churches. There are denominations that are hard shell. They won't go around any other denomination except their own. And they don't recognize the full body of Christ. There are some that think we know the most and we have the most knowledge, and we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, so we're better than the rest, and we're not going to waste our time hanging around people that don't do the things we do and approve. That's a dissension. Now let's take a look at Jesus. Who did he dissemble against? He went everywhere preaching, and everybody was welcome. He even went to the synagogues where the Pharisees and priests were. He went everywhere reaching out, and when he died on the cross, he didn't say, "Father, forgive my friends and the people that I associate with and rain hellfire and brimstone on the rest." No. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was talking about his worst enemies. His worst enemies that wanted Barabbas instead of him, that gave him the left foot of fellowship and wanted him dead, that called for his murder. This is the kind of love that first Peter talks about, unfeigned love. To love people whether they do you good or whether they do you evil. We don't change our position because people change, because people are swayed by Satan. We love the breathing people. We hate the works of darkness. We want to save the man in spite of his darkness, if we can. Now, you know, a soldier, he has a mandate to kill and protect his country. He's not going to let people come and tear up his country. And he has orders and a mandate to kill. Even in times of grace, policemen too. If people get out of order, they are commanded. They have rules of engagement, and they can kill you. The Lord even said they don't carry the sword for nothing. So you got to respect the position. That's why I don't believe in talking against the presidents. We all need to be praying for our presidents. If they won the election, we need to be praying for them. But in the church world, there are some Christians, they think that they have the liberty to call them an antichrist, which is terrible. I wouldn't want to call anybody an antichrist. First of all, the word of God said he won't be revealed until we're gone. So if you're still here, the president's not the antichrist. You just don't like him because you didn't read your word. We need to be praying for our leadership, whoever they may be, so that God, so we can live a peaceable life. And if God gave grace to you, he gave grace to the president too. All of them. Yeah, but he's a Democrat or he's a Republican. See, the Democrats, they think the Democrats act like the Republicans is the Antichrist or a terrible leader. And the Republicans act like the Democrats is the Antichrist or a terrible leader. And that's just not right. We need to be praying for each other. A nation divided against itself can't stand. So the Democrat and Republican Party, if they don't get it together, they can cause the country to fall because they're dividing the people. And people believe these things. Millions and millions and millions of people believe the views of both sides. This is a time we need to be praying. See, if you're going to follow God, you can't always be popular with man. So sometimes people have reserves because they don't want to look bad in the eyes of people that they adore. Now, I adore everybody. I love people. But I take the positions of Scripture. I would always choose Scripture over my best friends and my people and the people I love and care about. Even though I don't go around arguing, I'm firm about the things of God. I'm not going to go in God's presence and act like I love him and then go in other people's presence and act like I don't. I asked the Lord years ago, I want to live in your presence, and I want it to be just like we are in the prayer room wherever I go. So, and that's the prayer I pray, and that's what I meant. That's what I want. That's what I desire. So I can't go and take a foreign position on anything. I'm going to go biblical. It's easier and it's better because God thinks of everything. The people of this world, the leaders, they can't affect my destiny if I'm affecting my own destiny. If I speak the words of God, it will line up and override whatever other people may choose to do. Now, even though they can affect me in negative ways, if the price of gas triples again, it hurt me just like it hurt everybody else, but I survived it because I looked to the Lord. God loves us. It messed my budget up just like it messed everybody else's budget up. But God was with me, and he helped me survive anyway. Now, so God don't change his position on me. I'm not changing mine on him. So there can be things, if you don't deal with it, it grows. Or it remains dormant and it's hindering you from God's best. God can see the whole display of your life. You know, sometimes when they make a pizza and you order different toppings, you have more toppings on some slices than others. And some slices may be so thin, it may not have any of the same toppings as the others. It may just have one or two. Well, and as we live our life, we deal with the things that's an abomination to us. We may drive it out of our being. But we may let things remain, such as status. I'll only associate people of my status. All right, so when the Lord called you to the ministry and he sent you to a neighborhood that's poor, your heart's not in it because of the status. You let it get in the way, but it's the hot spot. If you humble yourself and love the people just like you love people of your own status, then you'll do well. And if you don't, if you give in to the status, then you're going to hurt God's people and scatter them and make a good situation worse than it was. See, these are the things that happen. When you don't deal with things in your heart, it's going to come out. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. You may love God, and you may love parts of the world, such as status, racial fear. You may love the people, but you may fear them. And if you do, you will treat them wrong. And then, if you fear them and you don't understand them, and you look at them a certain way, whatever's in the heart's coming out. But if you love people, there won't be a big deal made about little things. And people can heal and grow. But people don't know these things. And because they don't love the people like Jesus loved them, problems for them. And the enemy takes advantage of it almost every time. And the only reason I say almost every time is because Satan, he's not like God. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't know everything. He makes himself look smart. He don't catch everything that people do. Even his demons are sloppy. Now, they can impress us. They can do a lot of things. You know, the way Satan came against Job, that looked very clever. It was far beyond what I would think to do to my enemy. But this man timed everybody to give him information one after another in a rhythm to make him curse God and die. And nothing he did worked. Satan is not as precise as God, even though that's big to me and everybody that read the story. You say, wow, Satan is smart. He is smart. He was designed by God to be an angel that promotes life and light and understanding. So he understands much. But he's affected by sin and infected with sin. Sin is swelling in him. And it's hard. Sin hardens your heart against God, so he's not the same. He's not as clever as he would have been by now. And he's not as clever as he was when he started. He's digressing. And at the end of everything, his failure will be seen. People in hell will narrowly look at him, just like it describes in Isaiah chapter 14. Are you the one that weakened the nations? Now, we got to look at the Lord for who he is, for what his words say, and drive out every form of darkness. And sometimes you have to find it inside your mindset, and even in your heart. You got a new heart, but your heart is also comprised of your way of thinking. Your heart loves God, and every time you drive darkness far from you, your heart gets stronger. You hear God better, and he can trust you with more. Remember, he's not going to build on cracked bricks. If your way of thinking is full of cracks, he can't put more anointing on you. He'll put enough on you so that you can't do the damage. But even in that, you still got to progress and grow. But as you do progress and grow, he's going to pour more anointing on your life. And you're going to develop and help others do the same. And it's going to work. And people are going to see better, and they're going to do better. Because the people that observe your life, they're going to grow because they see you. They see the things of God unfold to them. But when people reserves is a, you know, I asked the Lord when he taught me about allowances. I remember it was similar to reserves. And it's been a while since I even thought about reserves. I used to talk about it, write about it, and teach about it. But it's been a long time since I had to do that. I said, Lord, allowances. This sounds like something else. And I had to remember that he taught me about reserves. I said, Lord, what's the difference between allowances and reserves? And he made it so plain, like he always does. He said, reserves is what people keep on purpose. That's what they hold back on purpose from God. It could be their time. It could be the way they spend time. It could be the way that they do things. It's not always bad, but it's not always good either. It can be sin. Sometimes people are, even though they are anointed, there are some sins they hold back and don't repent of. And it hinders them in life. And it hinders them against God's will. And sometimes it even puts their whole life in jeopardy. It depends on what it is. And I want everybody to go to heaven. But sometimes people have reserves. And the Lord will warn them, and the Holy Spirit will deal with them. And if they have to yield and repent, hopefully they'll be exposed and they'll yield the reserves. But allowances are things people don't think. They don't hold. They're not in a state of rebellion as much as the people that hold reserves. They hold the truth and unrighteousness. Some people just hadn't thought of these things and how they work against. Some people don't have a clue about how their status works. They're just, in their eyes, they don't want to be around lazy people because they don't want the laziness to rub off on them. Or they don't want to be around poor people because they don't want to become poor. You know, but you just have to be solid in the word. There are some Christians, they won't listen to other ministries because they feel like those ministries is not as good as the ones they're used to, or the people, the ones that, if it's an upstarting minister starting out, some Christians look down on them because they're not well known yet. And that's a status problem. That can be an allowance or a reserve. Why not just listen for the Holy Spirit and the Lord to use who he want to use? And that's how I do. Now some people they'll look at, like, I write a book, I'm an unknown author. In a lot of circles, I'm an unknown author, but I am an author. So I write books and writings. Now, the people that read my one-page writings, they like my writings because they're used to it. But some people look down on it because I didn't go to their schools, or they don't know which school I went to. Christians can be so critical of others because they didn't graduate this school or that school, and I don't want to receive any deception, so I'll just politely not read that book you got. And that's what they say. That's what they do, but that's not what they say. They just do it. Now, but then the same person at the end of the day will watch a movie, and they don't know who in the world wrote that movie. And they'll watch TV programs. The people that write some of these programs we like to watch are witches. They are backslidden Christians. Or just crazy people. They might be full of drugs when they wrote it. Just like they could be somebody that loves God. Like Mel Gibson. He did The Passion of the Christ. But you know, I can't judge a man's motives. But some of the stuff that comes on TV, it shouldn't come on no TV. And rated R movies, I just cut all that out. I stopped watching those a long time ago. And some movies I like because of the action, but I don't like to see anything at my choice. If it's vulgar, if it's a lot of foul language, I'd rather not even deal with it. Even though the plot may be something I'm interested in. Now, I watch war movies because I like to watch and appreciate what our soldiers do. And war movies can be very graphic. But you have to decide what's right, what's according to God's word. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about movies? He said, they're neither here or there. It's what you know, deciding to do something that you know is wrong is sin. And if it promotes sin, and, you know, I don't want to do that. So things that ain't right, I want to go. I'm driving those Philistines away from me. I don't want them. Now, what we allow can be allowed because we have a challenge. Sometimes you have to reconsider the things that we allow. You know, status is a big one. Racism is another big one. And everybody who have racial fears and racism problems, you're missing out. That God has people in every race that would be your best friend if you gave them a chance. God has some awesome people in every race. If you got racism allowances or reserves, you're missing out on your life. Because God, if you have status problems, you're missing out big time. If everybody got to be up to your level, you're missing out. There's some wonderful people on every level. There are poor people that don't want to associate with people that are